Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's me with another episode, and I'm here today with Kimberly Moses. Kimberly, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Claudia. I appreciate you.
She's located in South Carolina, and I'm so happy that she was able to come to talk to us today. And I'll tell you a little bit about her before we get on topic. So, of course, like many other people, Kimberly wears many hats. And to fulfill the call of God, now those are key words in her life's story. And she has several businesses, including her own personal brand, Rejoice Essentials, and we'll talk about that, which promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. She also serves as a life coach and mentor to many women. She's also the mother of 2 beautiful children. She's married to Tron. I guess that's your other half. Is that correct?
Yes.
Kimberly's dedicated her life to the work of ministry and to serve others under the call that God has placed on her life. Now, I would like, and you know, the funny thing, I'm looking at a woman, for those of you who don't have the benefit of a video, I'm looking at a woman who by any kind of definition that you wanted, she's a young woman. And I'm looking here, she's the author of 47 books. And I'm thinking, oh, well, what, in this lifetime? When did you start publishing, Kimberly?
Yeah, so it started during a hard time in my life. I got in trouble. I went to jail. And that's when I found the Lord, you know, a real relationship. And that was the turning point in my life.
How old were you then?
Ooh, I was maybe 30 years old when that happened to me. And then when I went in jail, I found a book called Doing His Time. And it was all about God's grace and mercy. So I just began to cry in jail. And then I had this supernatural encounter where I just felt peace. I felt the presence of God.
All right. Wait. Let's not jump the gun. Okay. So there's so many books here to talk about, but I can't talk about everything. So, I mean, I would love to. So, but there is a website, right? There's a website and where they can find your book. And we'll talk about that at the end. So you're here to talk because you talk about encountering, you know, Jesus.
Oh,
you had
yes.
this encounter. So we're talking about the supernatural. So go on. I interrupted you. You were in jail.
It's fine. Yes. Yeah, so I began to pick up this book, Doing His Time. And this is why I'm kind of passionate about books. Many people are like, why do you write so many books? Because I'm passionate about it because one book changed my life. So when I was in jail, I was in a suicidal ward and I wanted to just die and just kill myself. Mm-hmm. And when I picked up that book, I started crying and I felt anger, heaviness, like depression, like gloom and doom. When I picked that book up, I felt peace. Mm-hmm. And then I began to hear the voice of God and he began to speak to me. And he was like, you got to live.
When was this? During the day, during you know.
In jail.
But I mean, were you lying down, sleeping? Was it night? Was it during the day that you heard this? When did that happen the first time?
It was during the day. Like, since I was in the suicide ward, I could only leave my cell for 1 hour.
Oh, Jesus.
So
yeah.
Only thing I could do was just go get a book. Like, okay, what am I supposed to do for this hour? So I got a book, you know, I showered or whatever, and, you know, just sat and got a book. So I just took the book back with me and I began to read, and I just began to cry right there. So when I got out of jail, you know, my life was in shambles, and God began to speak to me. He said,
how long,
write a blog.
Hold on, Kimberly. How long did you stay in jail?
I stayed one day, but I went to jail for multiple times because I used to have anger, Claudia. Like, really bad anger, which is crazy, right?
Here, like, I have this woman who's, she's an angel. I mean, you look at her, she's got this gorgeous smile. She's angelic. You see her, I mean, she's beautiful. So you went back several times. Interesting. All right, go on. Yeah. And at that time, you had no children or no, or yes?
Yeah, my children maybe were like 5 or 7. They were like really young.
Yeah.
So when I got out, God began to speak to me. He said, write, do a blog. So I started just blogging. And then he said, okay, now put that blog into a book. So I did that. So okay. After I finished
that first book, when did that happen? What year was that?
It happened April 2014, and it was actually about my life, and I was so ashamed to tell people that, hey, I had these relationship issues, things didn't work out, you know, I was molested and all this stuff. I was afraid, you know, to tell people. So then after I finished the first book, then God began to give me a list of 21 books. I was like, you want me to write 21 books?
Oh, that you had to write.
Yeah, that I had to write. So I just remember I began writing those 21 books.
Wait, you're going so fast. So now, did God tell you, give you a title or a topic? How did that go?
Yeah, he gave me 21 titles.
All right, give me an example. Give me an example, like, of some of the titles.
Okay, so he said faith. And then I got a title, Walk by Faith. Then Empowering the New Me. And that was for women, like, that want to go into ministry. And then also, he gave me a book, In the Right Standing. That was about righteousness. Then he gave me a book on, like, the prophetic ministry.
Okay. Now I'm getting it. Now, how long are these books?
I think my average book is around 15,000 to 20,000 words.
So 15,000, 20,000, that's a good-sized book. So it would be how many pages?
150, 180. Yes.
So those are full blown books. And how long did it take you to write the first one? Ooh. Do you remember?
Yeah, the first book, I think it was already done, you know, on a website. So it didn't take long at all. Maybe like a week, just copy and pasting and making sure everything was lined up.
Your blog.
Yeah. The hardest challenge was to format the book. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you know, trying to figure out. But yeah.
Wow, that's courage for you. There's courage right there. So now, it in the end, there were 47 of them.
Yes. Yeah, so after I finished the 21 books, he just said, you're not done yet. So I just began to write. And then the crazy part was he began to shift me a little bit to start doing some audio books and then also some films. So now me and my husband are like, you know, I wrote some screenplays, Claudia. I'm like, oh my gosh.
So wait, did you yourself do the audio, or did you have someone read the book?
I had somebody else to read, because my confession is I don't like my voice, but I know a lot of people don't like their voices. So yeah.
With that angelic face. No one likes their voice usually, but you get used to it after you work with it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and you said that it became a movie or something, or one something?
Yeah, so I wrote 2 screenplays based on my my life and some of the stuff I went through. And I'm excited. We got some equipment on the way, and we brought some equipment. So we're going to just start filming. We're just going to step out in faith and just start filming based on my books.
Mm. Whew, I'm getting tired just listening to this. So you got Tron doing a lot of stuff.
He's my media man.
Okay. All right. So now let's talk about these encounters with the divine. I mean, we all have our talks with God. And I say that, you know, I say we all, but people who are listening say, well, I never talked to God, you know. So it's a very personal experience. But in your case, it happened regularly. Could you say that you talk to the divine on a daily basis?
not really daily, but I see right now I can feel his presence on my neck. I can feel his fire, you know. And you know how you get hot, like, oh my God, I can feel it, you know. But yeah, maybe every other day, a couple of days, you know, or just in prayer, I can hear. But those encounters, like, it really started actually with the demonic side. Actually started when I was a child, to kind of go back.
Okay, so let's go talk about that first.
Okay. So as a child, we grew up watching a lot of scary movies.
Oh, I
And
love them. I love
whew,
them. I love
I know,
scary
this is
movies.
so crazy, Claudia, because after the scary movies at night, I can see the spirits, I can see the devil, I can see this tall, dark shadow over me with these eyes, and then sometimes he'll try to touch my body, get inside of my body, hold me down. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe too good. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah,
And I thought
that's
this was so normal. And it was
No,
crazy.
that's a a possession, you know, that's a form of possession that you're feeling.
Yeah, and I'm just like, So I wasn't in church then or nothing like that, but it was just so crazy. And it was just so much evil in my home growing up. And we used to also be like Buddhists as well.
When
And
you
the
say
crazy
we,
part.
you do, who is we? Your parents or your brothers and sisters or what? Who?
My parents and I'm it was five of us, you know. I'm the oldest of four girls, but I have an older brother, so it's like five siblings. So we used to be a Buddhist, and I just remember someone put a curse on our family because we wanted to leave that religion. And she got the lady that was a head of the Buddhist organization, she got so mad at my mother, and she just cursed us. And when she put a curse on us, so much bad stuff was happening, Miss Claudia. It was just so
Well,
crazy.
yeah, there's you know that you could get rid of that, right?
Yes.
You know how to do that. You can go to you really have to get rid of that. What did you do with
Yes.
the curse then there during that time?
Yes. So when somebody put a curse on our family, like it was car accidents back to back, stuff was chasing us out the house. Just so much bad stuff was happening. My sister fell out a two-story balcony window, had to get a plate in her head. Just too much stuff was happening. So my father, he told his coworker what was happening, and his coworker's like, "You need to get your family baptized in Jesus' name." So once we got baptized in Jesus' name, the curse broke and it stopped, and we had peace in our house finally. And it was just so. That's the first time I heard about Jesus, but we didn't go to church until I got like until I almost died in a car accident at the age of 21. So, and that's the whole story in itself. So.
So let's say that you were 30, you said, and you were in prison. And in the suicide ward, and you found this book, and Jesus came to you, and that's when you started this sort of conversation with the divine.
Yes, yeah, so to make a little story short, so after I got out of jail and began to get my life back together,
All right,
I just began to.
I don't want you to make a long story short. I want you to tell us the story. That's
Yeah.
important. Give us the
Oh,
good
yes.
details.
Yes, ma'am. So I just began to pray as never, pray as never before. Let's kept praying, praying, praying. So I began to hear God speak to me. And then not only has he when he started speaking to me, he started telling me about other people around me. And I begin to kind of see in their light,
What do you
and like,
mean?
oh, like I begin to get like the prophetic anointing. Like, you know how, like, for example, psychics can see stuff? Well, prophets can see stuff
Well,
as
wait a
well.
minute. He was telling you about people around you. What does that mean?
Like, for example, like people that I interact on a daily basis, like on the phone with prayer and just talking to them on Facebook or Instagram, he began to tell me stuff about their life. Like, she's depressed, she's going through. With her mother, they got in a fight. And I'm like, this stuff that who nobody would know. It's personal. So then I would tell them, and they would kind of get scared, like, oh my God, how you know this? And I went through some warfare through it. Like people that I thought were my friends, when I start telling them about their life, they got scared of me, and they like call me a witch, and they
Yeah,
kick me to
no,
the
I know it's
curb.
terrible. You have to be careful.
So I went through that, and I just remember, like, when I was really seeking God, one day I'm in my living room, I was praying, and then my eyes open up, Miss Claudia, and I begin to see Jesus standing right above me, and I knew it was him. And in Revelation 19 in the Bible, it talks about Jesus wearing his red cape, And on his side is writing, and he has a cloud of angels behind him. So I saw that, and I'm like, oh my God. And he said, tell my people I'm coming back soon. And he disappeared. And I was like, oh, and I was so afraid, you know. And then another encounter I had, which is so crazy, there's a show, it's called Sid Roth is Supernatural. I don't know if you ever heard about it.
Yeah, I
but
heard
it's
about
on
it,
like
yeah.
YouTube. And I was watching Sid Roth for maybe like 13 hours one day. Just
oh my God, 13 hours.
And then all of a sudden, my rooms, the atmosphere started to shift. And I felt like I was in heaven. And I just began to cry. Like, oh, I couldn't stop crying. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then I fell to my knees. And then I looked up. And it was a bloody Jesus by my front door.
Oh
and
my
I
God.
Knew it was Jesus because he was on this cross.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I was like, the scene changed. It's like, Jesus is in my room? Like, what?
Yeah.
And he began to walk towards me. And I just lost it. I was paralyzed because when you feel something like that and you see it, you just, I was on my knees. I just, all I could do was cry. He began to walk towards me. And we were in the scene changed. I was in the clouds. Like, I was like, am I in heaven or something?
Yeah.
And I looked down at my hands, and this like really freaked me out. They wasn't my hands. They were his hands. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the holes in my hands.
The stigma,
and then
he
put a crown on my head. And then he put this purple robe on me. And all I could do was cry. I was just paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And I came up out of it, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how long passed, but it seemed like a few minutes had passed.
So this is after you were already married?
No, I was, you know, divorced.
Okay.
And I was single for 3 years before I remarried. So
okay.
It was.
And did you have children then? Did you have children?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
They were about maybe 5 or 7.
So who were you able to talk to this about?
Ooh, I think I put it in some books. I told everybody like later on. I was like, you guys, oh my God, I saw Jesus. And you know, people thought I was crazy.
Yeah,
like,
of course, of course. But you were already writing, right?
Yes, I was writing about it, yes.
Yeah. Wow. So Thrawn is recent. He's a recent relationship you have?
Oh, my husband.
Yeah, your husband. Tron, sorry. He's Tron doesn't sound like a name to me. Tron sounds like a machine. That's why So Tron is when did you get together with Tron?
We married in 2017.
Okay. So that's really recent. And so did you tell him everything about?
Yes. He already knew. And then like, he knows like, I'm really sensitive, so I can tell when someone is like praying against me or trying to curse me. Mm-hmm. I can feel it because it feels like something stabbing me.
Yeah.
You know, I could just be minding my business, driving or watching a movie, and I'm like, I could just feel it.
Right,
it makes me like, you know.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, another one. Like, so he'll just kind of pray and encourage me through it.
Yeah. So, wow. Now, when is you said your children are 3 and 5 now? No.
Now they're older, 15 and 13. I got two teenagers now.
Gee, young woman, young mother. So let's say that you've got your work cut out for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a lot of things going on. And for everybody out there, you have to put food on the table, right? You've got to eat. And are you able to get money from the books that you've written?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It brings passive income. If you just put the work
passive
in initially,
mm-hmm.
yes. And every month is consistent.
Good.
So I just maybe do a video, talk about the book, or I share the link on from
and
Amazon.
And where do you put the video? You put it on YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube or Facebook, and then people just want to buy it. So I'm like, okay, well, thank you, God. Yeah.
Well, but your YouTube channel, could you tell us the name of your YouTube channel?
Yes, it's my name, Kimberly Moses.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right. That's good. So we'll bring people there. So now what are you working on? What's the current book that you're working on now?
So right now I'm taking a break because like I'm also a publisher and I have a lot of clients, so they keep me busy.
Now tell me about that because I'm wondering because I thought about that doing, you know, using my company as a publishing house, but I don't know if I have the patience to do that. Was this
Ooh,
also suggested by the divine?
yeah. Yeah, so I remember when God called me off my job.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hear you. So I asked, was that also the divine who told you to open a business like that? How did that work?
Yes, yeah, so I was going through some financial challenges.
Yeah.
And I actually had a full-time job as a respiratory therapist. You know,
ah,
I went to school for that.
Wow.
But it was, my hours were drying up and I kept getting all these prophecies like, you're going to be a preacher and you're going to do ministry. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, I ran from it for years.
Yeah.
So I just remember just being broke. I had no money.
Yeah.
And then one day I just began to pray. And then God said, you're going to start a publishing business. And it didn't make sense to me because I already had like 12 books at the time.
Right, right.
But I was like, okay, you know, I didn't want to focus on nobody else's books. I only wanted to do my book.
Right,
you know,
right.
I had a list of 21 books to write.
Right.
So I did it because at first I was praying for money. I was like, God, I need
$22,000. Oh my God. Oh my God. So wait a minute. Now let's take this one step at a time. So you decided, but you were still working full time, right?
Working full time, yes, ma'am.
So, what did you have to do to open the publishing business and at the same time stop working or going part time? What did you do?
Yeah, so what happened was I ended up getting fired, which is crazy. I was
oh my God.
Up for promotion.
Oh,
people's like,
that's
yeah,
a sign.
Like, Kimberly, she has great character. And I'm going to send her to Denver Health, one of the biggest hospitals in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we got to do a background check. They had no idea that I was on probation.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And, you know, in the medical field, you cannot have
right.
a dirty record at all. So they fired me. And the lady was like, when do you get off probation? I said, July. She's like, well, I'm going to hire you back. So I prayed. And God said, nope, you're going to preach my word. I'm like, okay. So I just remember being broke. I didn't have no money. And he spoke to me to do this business. So when I started the business, you know, I just did some research. I had a friend at the time. She kind of helped me get it off the ground. You got to have, you know, get your certification through the state, like your EIN number.
Right.
I
you opened a company,
like that.
Right? You opened,
yeah,
a, company.
Opened a company.
It was an
yes.
LLC? Did you open an
yeah.
LLC? Okay.
Yes.
So
yes,
you did
ma'am.
That. And what's the name of your company?
Rejoice Essential Publishing.
Oh, God. Say that again.
Rejoice. Essential Publishing.
Okay, that's nice. Who did you, did the divine suggest this?
Yeah, and it's crazy because like I used to sell oils, like anointing oils, and I used to
oils,
be Rejoice
yeah.
Essential Oils.
Right.
And then I had I got a magazine, Rejoice Essential Magazine. So everything's Rejoice Essential Magazine, publishing, beauty. Everything.
So it's called Rejoice Essential. What?
Publishing.
Publishing. Publishing. So. That means through that company, you are able to sell all the things that you want to sell, right?
Yes.
But
yes,
the
ma'am.
Idea is that the people or the books that come to you have to be of a certain kind, of a spiritual nature, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So did that, was that easy for you to get people, to find people to come to you for that?
Yeah. Because every time I write a book and I post my own books
right.
on like Facebook or something, people are like, oh, who's your publisher? Or, oh,
right.
who helps you with your cover? So they always come to me. Like, I never really had to like spend thousands of dollars in ads to get business. It just,
yeah.
it just happens.
Okay.
By,
so,
I guess word of mouth, people seen it.
But is it, do you find that it's a lucrative enough business for you to live with?
To be honest, I didn't start making a profit till my third year, you know,
uh-huh.
it was just like,
okay,
yeah, so this is, you just got to stick with it.
Okay.
You know,
so let's
whenever
say,
you open a business.
All right. So let's say a person, let's talk about that third year, right?
Yes.
In those 3 years, how many books of other people did you publish?
I started a business in 2017 and I have about like 50 or 60 authors. Underneath the company, and it's just really, to be honest, it's me and I have some contractors that help me do everything.
Okay,
so
that
I have
means,
a really small business.
But it, is it a publishing business where you offer hardback, you know, soft cover, whatever it's called, paperback, and the
yes.
ebook? I mean, you do the whole business.
Yeah, we do everything. Like we edit, we copyright the books. We do the ebook, hardback, the paperback. We promote. You know, I do a lot of author interviews.
Oh, so that means that means that you are what is it called? Is it called hybrid publishing? Or
yes, I'm a hybrid. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so tell us what the hybrid means. Hybrid publishing.
Yes. So people come to me and I just help them get their books out there. I help them get the books on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and places like that. A traditional publisher, like, you will want them to give you a book advance, but I don't give them a book advance. They put all the cost up and I just do the job.
But you get a percentage of their sales, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. So let's say, so you invent the cover, for example, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you a really terrible question, but did someone come, has anyone ever come to you that you didn't want to publish? You just couldn't. Because
yes,
the book was so terrible, or the writing was so terrible, or the topic was terrible, or the divine said, no, this is not a book you have to publish. How did that go?
Yes, so it happened a few times, to be honest. And it wasn't that the book was terrible, because I can work with people, because I'm also a ghostwriter. I can just take a person's book and just kind of rearrange it and edit it. Mm-hmm. But it was people that had bad character. People that, you know, that they wanted to kind of take over my business.
You didn't get along with them.
Yeah, there was people that, you know, curse me out, cut me out, give me a headache. I was like, I need peas. I like peas, you know?
So give me a name, a couple of titles that you've published for other people.
Okay, so I just got to pull up my mind.
Just to have an example in the topic of the book.
Okay, so one of my newest books that I just published was called The Promise Ring Crown.
Sorry, say that again?
The Promise Ring Crown.
What is
and
that?
And it's about...
I can't get the title. I can't hear
the
it.
Promise Ring
Crown. Promise Ring Crown. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's about this girl, how she started going into ministry, her testimony. Then I published a children's book. It's called Micah's Gift, where this little boy, he used to have nightmares all the time, maybe with the devil trying to torment him at night. And then he began to see things about his mother. And his mom's like, how you know this? You know, it's called Micah's Gift, and it's a children's book. And then also, I just published another children's book recently, and it's about bullying. It's called Butterbean and Friends.
Oh, how cute.
There's a little child.
Oh, this is interesting. This is interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you're talking, it made me think of things. Do you have, because you're dealing with the fiction as well, fiction books, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any, because one of the topics that I knew you would want to talk about was relationships, and this makes me think, do you have authors who've presented a book about a love story, or, you know, a woman's fiction romance book?
Not yet, but we have a relationship book, like, for wisdom.
Nonfiction.
Yeah, nonfiction. Yeah.
Okay.
But not yet, though. I'd be willing, though, to do something.
Because that's a big, you know, that's a big field. And because I'm trying to think of some kind of area or some kind of genre that you would never publish. I guess gardening, right? So that's...
No, I'll do that.
Okay.
The things I wouldn't publish is like... things about like how to cast spells on people, or, you know, like,
the dark,
like
the dark paranormal.
Yeah,
I see the dark side of the moon here. Yeah, I get it. witches. Well, witches have a bad name. Everybody thinks that they're so they're the cause of all of the negativity. But this is interesting. So let's say that. You stopped working as I can't remember what you were telling me, that your specialization, what were you working as?
A respiratory therapist.
So you're not doing that anymore. So let's say that you stopped doing that at a time when COVID came, and that was good, right? You got out of that. So you were really very poised. I mean, you're being taken care of there. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. So how is the earnings? All right, so you're at your third year, right? And you have these encounters, say, every other day with the divine, and you have this guidance. It's very strong guidance, and that should make you feel self-confident, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there any time when you know that there's a dark presence, that it's not the divine, that there's something else? Has that happened to you recently?
Not recently, but it happens on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I know. It happens to me, too. And, I go through all of my ritual stuff to get rid of it. But you know when something's off. You know,
yes.
Something
you
happens.
Could feel
you,
it.
You could feel it. It's cold, dark, and ugly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what about Tron? Did he ever think of writing a book with you?
He actually wrote, no, not with me, because he's not a writer. He's not passionate about writing at all. I'll be trying to push him and encourage him. But he just like doing videos. He like taking photos because he's a photographer and a videographer.
Oh, I see. So I see. Does he help, let's say, with the book cover, for example, the artsy type stuff?
He gives me his approval. Like, he like, that's ugly. That's not going to sell.
Okay.
Like, that's nice. That's going to sell.
Interesting, interesting. And the next thing that I wanted to say, of course, because you said, yeah, I interview a lot of people, I do the marketing, right? That sounds like essential, Rejoice Essential, whatever, could be the name of a podcast.
Yeah, we actually do. You write on. We have a
podcast.
All right.
Well, tell me the name of the podcast.
Almost Rejoice Essential Podcast.
No, that's great. And how often does it come out?
We actually are on a break right now, but it used to come out every like Saturday. We did it maybe for 6 months straight. So that's a lot of
episodes. You get tired. Yeah, you get tired after a while. I put out two episodes a week, and it does, there's a lot of work. But there's so many interesting people that you meet. And this is a lot of work. Did you ever, because you said you have backup, you have some people working with you. I don't know, contract out some things, or how does that work?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I use a lot of contractors. So like, because it's just me and I don't want to get stressed out or overwhelmed.
Right,
so
of course.
I hire people to edit. I hire people to design. I hire people to upload and create content and even post on my social media, because sometimes I don't have time to even send out my emails. So I just hire people to do work, that they can do, and I can focus on something else.
So when you just mentioned social media, people can find you at your website, KimberlyHargraves.com, and the store. I can send my audience there and send them to your publishing house, this Rejoice Essential Publishing, or to your podcast. Now, you talked about social media. What is the social media that you were talking about? You said I can send them to my social media.
Yeah, so on my Facebook page, it's called Prophetess Kimberly Moses, and it's I got like 15,000 followers.
Wait a minute. Tell me the Facebook page again.
Prophetess Kimberly Moses.
Okay. Prophetess Kimberly Moses. And do you have an Instagram account?
I'm not really active on Instagram. I just started doing reels on there.
Yeah.
But it's my name on Instagram, Kimberly Moses.
Okay. I wasn't as well with Instagram. Then I thought about it again, and it's a place that you might want to spend more time sprucing up. So where will Kimberly Moses be in the future? What is her next? Did you get any kind of message of where you should be going?
Yeah, so I want to launch another business. Like, I feel like in this season, I've been doing a lot of businesses. Like, I have a beauty business, like selling hair and makeup and things like that. But I want to get into like real estate. I want to focus on my film. Real estate?
Yeah. Why does that interest you?
One of the things is I like, because my husband's a photographer, and we like doing the 3D scans of like the apartment and the place. So I would like to own a trailer park. I know sounds
now that's interesting. That is interesting. A trailer park is the United States. I mean, even when people from other countries watch movies and they see these trailer parks, that it's only typical the United States. In other countries, you don't see that style of living. And are you thinking in South Carolina, where you are now?
Yeah, South Carolina, yes. Because I feel like it's affordable and it's like passive, and I don't have to run it. I could
Be
hire somebody
there.
else to run
Right,
it.
sure.
Yeah.
So, boy, you from angry young woman, Kimberly Moses, angry young woman to a prophetess, really. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for coming on and talking to our guests. I really, really appreciate it. I do hope I can have you back in the future, Kimberly.
Yes. Thank you so much, Claudia. I appreciate it. It was fun talking to you, and I love your personality.
You're sweet. You're sweet. Bye-bye, Kimberly.
Right, bye-bye.